John chapter 5, and as the last week led us then to 1 Corinthians, and we'll be spending most of the day there. John chapter 5, and if you'll with me, please read verse 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, please that you will show us the separation between those two judgments. And we have spent now a couple of weeks concerning the judgment of the lost, and now we're going to look at the judgment of the saved. And so please, dear Lord, that you will guide and lead us as we move over to the third chapter of 1 Corinthians and enjoy that, your precious word. Please just touch our hearts, dear Lord. Guide and lead us with your Spirit. Without your guiding Spirit, we can learn nothing. We'll know nothing of your word. If we just start to ask a simple question, if we lack wisdom, we're to ask you, and you will give it to us. And we ask today that you will give us wisdom and give us your knowledge and give us your strength and your power today. Please, dear Lord, that you will touch every heart, those that have come today that have never come by faith to you and trusted in your precious free gift of salvation, that today, that Father, they'll come and their hearts will be touched, and they'll no longer let the ties of the world hold them back from surrendering to you and coming. And so please today that they call upon your name and be saved. And then, Father, that life begins, the life of learning and growing and serving and praising. So please, dear Lord, today, just touch every heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have been so many places in the Scripture as we go back and forth through these verses of Scripture. But, you know, Scripture confirms Scripture. And so in order to study the Word of God, why, we must look from place to place through God's precious Word. And we have looked at Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, when we look at that verse, we need to understand that we as believers, born again, blood-bought believers in Jesus Christ, have a work to do. And there is a work that's set before us. And as we look at this work, there are two ways to do the work. There are two ways to serve God. One's the right way and one's the wrong way. It's pretty simple. One's right and one's wrong. One, as we're going to go here in a few minutes to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and read through that 12th through that 15th verse again, one involves gold, silver, and precious stones. One involves wood, hay, and stubble. And so we're going to look at that today, because we have already looked at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that brought a world's judgment upon this world. We've looked at that back in Revelation. We've also looked at the great white throne judgment that involves just the lost. And so we've looked at those two. Now we have come to the judgment of the saved. And if you would now just turn and keep in mind what we've just read, because it's the resurrection unto life for the saved and the resurrection unto damnation to the lost. And those judgments are two separate, complete separate judgments. But we're going to go, or resurrections and judgments. So let's go now to 1 Corinthians. Go to the third chapter. And we'll begin now to read with the... let's just start with the 11th verse and read down through verse 15, if you'll follow along with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, "For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Now, we've got a foundation, believers, to build upon. And that foundation is none other than Jesus Christ. And so everything needs to be built upon the Lord Jesus. We talked last week that the Lord Jesus Christ has not only set the foundation, but he has given us a set of plans and how to build. We talked about last week how that God has not only given us a set of plans, but he, being the architect, has also put his seal upon those plans, and we need to begin work, and we need to begin quickly, and we need to work. You know, there's a day to be born and a day to die, and the world says for us to retire. You know, we're supposed to work to a certain age and then retire. Well, in the Word of God, there is nothing, no idea, no principle concerning the word retire. You know, he told Joshua. Joshua was an old man. And I love this verse of Scripture. And he says, Joshua, you're old. Get to work. You see, it didn't matter if he was old or not. He told him, get to work. There's work to do. And there's work for each one of us to do. You know, some things physically we can't do that we used to be able to do, but there is much work to be done in building this building that God is talking about here, and that's the church. We need to be busy about building the church. And again, there is two ways to build. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. One way, God's judgment here, God's testing that we've talked about, his determining factor is what survives the fire. God does the testing by fire. And so whatever withstands the fire is what is going to be something that is going to make the building, it's going to add value to the building. Everything will be tested by fire. Now, this is only for believers. This isn't concerning lost people. Lost people face a judgment that we've been through, and they will be judged by their works. They will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. That's the lost. Now, you and I are saved. We have a work to do. This work does not determine whether we're saved or not. Salvation comes by faith. You trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and once you turn to him, he saves you, he seals you, and then he hands us this handbook and says, get to work. So the works, you see, are involving rewards, not salvation. I don't want you to ever confuse the preaching of the Word of God that works have anything to do with salvation. But when we have been purchased by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, we have been purchased by his precious blood. There is no way that we work every day, every hour of every day in service to him that we can pay that debt back that he paid for us to take our sins away. But our hearts should try. And our mind should try, and our life should try to serve him and to praise him, to honor him. And so as we look at this foundation now that he has set for us, it is set solid. We have the plans. We have everything. We don't have all the knowledge of God here. There are the volumes in all the books in all the world cannot contain the wisdom and knowledge of God. But it is everything we need. It's everything we need to finish this life and get on to the next. When we get to the next, we're going to know everything. But until then, he has handed us a handbook. He's given us precious book for us to study and to learn and to grow and to know. And please that we do that each day. So, in order to build properly, gold, silver, precious stones. Those items are all very costly items. Those items are only purified with fire, made better with fire. The wood, hay, and stubble, on the other hand, is something of little value. And if you go out to buy a load of hay today, it's a lot of money. Not in relationship to gold, silver, or precious stones, but you see, God doesn't compare things here. He tests everything by fire. So it doesn't matter that you've got good alfalfa hay because it's going to burn. wood, hay, and stubble. And so in God's eyes, it's things of no value. We need to set our work up on the judging fire of God and not upon the opinion of the world. We need to look to the Word of God, His doctrine, His pure doctrine, not the philosophies of the world, but His Word. And we need to be as teachers and preachers of the Word, and every one of us are teachers and preachers of God's Word if we're born again. And if we're teachers and preachers of the Word of God, then we need to be rightly dividing the Word. We need to look to the Word of God and confirm Scripture with Scripture. We talked about that in the Word of God, gold stands for the deity. Silver represents the redemptive power of Christ, of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the precious stones tell of His glory and this person, the person of Jesus Christ. We can divide it clearly. Precious gold, silver, and precious stones are the wonderful, true, solid doctrines of the Word of God that we can stand on. Wood, hay, and stubble, again, are an imitation of the truth. It is things that break down, that have no strength, no power. We're to be building on this foundation. We're to be building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. But if we don't build with the products, the proper materials that God wants us to use, which is His Word, why, then it's just going to burn up in the fire as the testing goes on. We not only have been to John to begin with, and then now we've read in 1 Corinthians, and we read that Scripture verse in Matthew, but we have also looked at a verse of Scripture back in 1 Timothy. And I want you to go back there with me. We're not going to read all of them. Last time we read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, 2, 6, 7, and 16. And we read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 through 5 and 17 through 20. Today, we're just going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and read verse 17 through 21 there, through 20. And so if you would please go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and look at Paul has charged Timothy with, what he's told him to do. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Look who is the giver here. God's the giver. We need to trust in Him that gives us these things that we may truly enjoy Him. Verse 18, that they do good and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Now, that word communicate, we really didn't talk about last week. We didn't take time to. But that word communicate means to share, means to give, means to fellowship. And so now if we read that 18th verse, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to fellowship, to share, to give. That's what we should be. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. And then lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babbling and oppositions of science falsely so called. That word science, once again, we didn't take time last week to look at that. That to you may make all kinds of sense, but it means knowledge. It means knowledge. And I'll tell you what, this world, when it gets to thinking without the presence of God, is dangerous. And so here this means knowledge. And Paul is telling Timothy, you know, watch it. Keep away from that. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith in verse 21. So I wanted to reread that and touch on those two areas that we really didn't look at last week. And as we look to the Word of God, every time you open it up, you see something that you have just read right over last time. It just didn't stop to look at it. But when I see things like that, why, we're to grow little bit upon little bit, precept upon precept. And so if we can leave with just a little bit today that we have gained and that what we've learned. Now back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we begin to look now at this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. In verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. I've divided that 13th verse into four sections, and we're going to look at those four sections separately. Every man's work shall be made manifest, number one. Number two, for the day shall declare it. And number three, shall be revealed by fire. And number four, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So there's really four different things here that we're going to take a look at here very, very quickly today. The believer's responsibility. We're born again, blood-bought believers. We have a work that's set before us. We need to give unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do we just give what's comfortable? Do we just give that and we don't put any extra suffering or stress upon our life to give a little bit more to the work of Christ, whether it's in offering or work or both? It should be both. We should not only give what's comfortable, but we should go beyond that. And what example do we have concerning our giving? And I hope you haven't missed this, and that's our Savior, Jesus Christ. Did he give just what was comfortable? Because if he gave what was comfortable, he wouldn't have left the glory of heaven, let alone coming down here to live, let alone suffering death, persecution, beating, his death, going in the grave, his resurrection. We have a beautiful picture, a beautiful example of what we should be for Jesus. And he gave it all. He didn't just give what was comfortable. He gave it all. We have an example here, a perfect example in our Savior. Our work should be centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should give way beyond what is comfortable. We should give our all unto our Lord and Savior. In work, in giving, in contributing to the work of Christ, however God leads you to do that. And so we have every man's work shall be made manifest. This word manifest means to be revealed. And so when we look at this first section that I've divided off here, to be revealed, God keeps this set of books. You know, we're so happy and proud that God's keeping a books for the lost, because they have lied to us, they've cheated us, they've treated us evilly, and they've destroyed the church, they have killed the Jews. Boy, I hope God has a perfect record of all those evil people, because when they stand before him, when they stand before him, I know God's a just God and a right God, and he is not going to miss one evil deed that these people did. He's going to get them. Judgment, boy. You know, maybe you've had somebody that's lost, that has treated you nasty and evil through this lifetime, and you're thinking, boy, I hope God has a perfect record of everything they've done. You see, sometimes we kind of want vengeance, don't we? We kind of want vengeance. We want everything to be made right. Well, if you're going to believe that God's going to judge the lost for everything, don't for a second think that he's going to miss anything that we have done. Every good deed, every evil deed, he has a record of. And so he's not going to look at our lives and say, oh, you were really busy with your business. You were really busy with your family. And I know that you didn't have time to really get to church, and you didn't have time to come and serve at church because there was just so much to do. And, you know, there was those other expenses that you had. So I understand why you didn't give. That's what God's going to say to us when we stand before him. Oh, just come on in, and oh, I'm just so excited that you're here. We don't have the right concept of God, do we? Don't each one of us want to have something to lay at his feet? Don't we want to do something in this life that'll bring honor and glory to him? Why can we store up so much treasure here and we don't care about the treasure that's everlasting? We work so hard to gain things here, only to leave them. Only to leave them. God give. We read back in that verse of scripture that tells us that all these things are for our good, for our use, for our joy. But only if they're in the proper place. Because if the things of this world are here and God's down here, the joy's not going to be there. You're always going to be wanting and never satisfied. If you put God up here and the things down here, you're going to really enjoy those things. And at the same time, we're going to be laying up treasures in heaven that's going to bring honor and glory to our God and rewards for us. Is it important for rewards? You can say, oh, you know, God's so good and God's so great that I don't care about those rewards. I just want to be in heaven. I don't want to just go to heaven. I want to come with things that's going to be laid at His feet that He's going to look at and say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Please don't just think getting there is enough, because it's not. You're going to be ashamed. I'm going to be ashamed if I stand in His presence and have no gold, silver, or precious stones. I'm going to be ashamed. We need to be serious about God's work. We need to be busy about God's work. Manifest. There's a record. For the day shall declare it, the scripture tells us here. Is number two, the day shall declare it. To declare is to make plain, to bring out into the open, to make evident. And so there'll be a day to declare our life. And the next is, because it shall be revealed by fire. Once again, here is this purifying fire. Fire is one of the attributes of God, and attributes is qualities, one of His characteristics. That's who God is. God is a consuming fire. And we try to hold those verses of Scripture and that to the lost, that they'll have to face that. But our works, what we do in Jesus' name, after we're saved, we'll be held accountable by this fire as well. In judgment, God will search out and destroy all that's vile. The word vile means cheap, worthless, inferior. He will sort all that out. Nothing that is defiled shall ever enter into the city of God. Gold, silver, and precious stones will all be made brighter when it comes through the fire. So what we do in Jesus' name, in other words, what we do down here to praise Him and to honor Him, what we do when He gets done with that will be better. It will be better when we get to heaven. Fire always separates that which is destructible from that which is indestructible. Fire removes the dross. It separates the two. So all that we teach and preach and give, everything should be for the purpose of our Lord and Savior. Otherwise, it will be burned. And the fourth part of this is the end of verse 13 there. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Only believers will be at the judgment seat of Christ. It is not again to determine whether you're saved or lost, because that has already been determined when you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus. This judgment will be a judgment of our work as a believer in Jesus Christ in service to Him. And we seem to take these works as things that are, you know, directly connected with the church. It's something that you have to do here. And that's not necessarily so. Because, yes, there's much work to do here, but the work is outside these four walls. The works is the world that we need to reach. And we can do that by actions of love and service. And understand that man's not keeping these books, God is. So God knows your heart. And God knows whether it's to His honor and glory or to your own. He knows whether it's to my honor and glory or to His. He knows that because He's keeping this perfect account. It's very possible that a teacher, or particularly a preacher, can stand in the pulpit, can bring great crowds in, all can hear the word that he preaches, and every last bit of it will be burnt up when God judges it, because it could all be wood, hay, and stubble. At the same time, the servant of God that's within a body of believers could be praying, could be doing service to someone that they know to help in some way. Who knows? And God honors that. So you see, God is a perfect in his notes. He keeps perfect record. And so He knows why you're doing what you're doing. And He has led you to there, or it is something that you're doing for self. God judges in righteousness. We judge by appearance. Whether we have succeeded, it is what other people perceive as success. God judges in righteousness. It's only in quality, not in quantity. The heart should be led by the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that there's probably never, ever been a day that so many people that are saved, if Jesus would come today, I believe there are more Christians today that are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ ashamed than every other time, than ever another time before. Because they have gotten so tied up into the world, and they have been misled. Many of them have been misled. You know, if Jesus would come between 11 and 12 o'clock on a Sunday morning, there will be churches that not one person will leave. Not one person. We need to be giving out the gospel. We need to be busy about the work. This 14th verse says, "And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward." Abide. Abide. Enduring. Constant stewardship. It's something, it is ongoing. It undergoes the consuming fire, yet is never burned up. And we need to be in service to the Lord. Now, we're going to, once again, and you know, we've proven to you that we sure go back and forth in the Scripture, but Scripture confirms Scripture, and I don't know for sure if we're even going to get through all this today. We may have to continue this next week. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, beginning of the 20th verse, and while you're looking that up, I'll give you a little review of where we're at. It's not going to be long that we're going to be going through a series of the seven churches of Revelation. I love preaching through that. We are to the seventh church age right now, the church age of the Laodicean church, and you'll find that at the 14th verse. And if you're familiar with it at all, you'll know that God says, I'd rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm. And oh, we sure know that today we're in a lukewarm environment. And we could change that term today to say it's politically correct. We are politically correct. You know, I had a man here several months ago come up to me, and it was a funeral visitation, and he come up to me and he said, Larry, I listened to the radio program again Sunday, and you know, you're not politically correct. And I said, that's right. And he says, and another thing is that if you ever are, I'll stop listening. And so we can't be politically correct. We have to stand upon the Word of God, and the Word of God is our truth. It's our foundation, and we need to work upon it. But the time, the apostasy of this time that we live in today is without question. We're in the Laodicean church age, but it was also a literal church. And here is what God said at the end of this in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. Now, to begin with that 20th verse, God's on the outside. Now, people use this verse of Scripture for salvation all the time, and it's fine to use it there, but you need to understand that the Word of God tells us very clear that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. You see, the door of salvation is open all the time. So what door are we talking about here that is closed and Jesus is on the outside? It's on the church of Laodicea. What church age are we in right now? We're in the church age of Laodicea. Jesus is standing outside of every church. As you drive down this street, and almost every town's got several churches, that Jesus is on the outside. He is knocking on that door because he wants to come in and they won't let him in. That's what that is. That's a literal church. That they have said, Jesus, we don't need you. They stand there, they open their Bibles, and they come and they sing and they go home. But today we live in the age of the Laodicean church. This church here locked Jesus out. And the churches today have locked Jesus out. That's the beginning of this. Now, the next part here is the reason we come to this section of Scripture. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. To him that overcometh. Now, again, this is another Scripture verse that a lot of people take to the tribulation period. All that's coming on upon them, but and that can be applied there, I suppose. But right here, this is to the church at Laodicea. And he is saying, you people, if you would stand for the truth, stand against all the world, because that's what you're going to do. And that's what we have to do today. The world is pulling at us. The world is taking us every different direction. We talked in Sunday school that when I was little, when I was Brenton's age, there was nothing but a couple of restaurants open. That's it. No filling stations, no gas stations, no stores, no nothing. Everything was closed on Sunday. And I can only remember in my area there where I lived that there was only one family that didn't go to church. And I thought, them heathen. I mean, I wasn't saved. Didn't matter. Everybody goes to church. They sent their children, but they didn't go. Of course, that was common in my day. You send your children to Sunday school. Nobody goes to Sunday school. And so you send your children to Sunday school, and then you follow up and you come to church. These people didn't follow up and come to church. I couldn't believe it. Today, you know, living in a farming community, no farming. You never saw a tractor started. I mean, yes, you did the chores, but that was it. You didn't go to the field. You didn't shell corn. You didn't do anything on Sunday. It was the Lord's Day. Today, if you didn't have a calendar, you could drive down the road and you would not recognize one day from the other. What did God do to the Israelites when they forsook the seventh year? He stuck them in captivity for 70 years. God's patient. 490 years they didn't do what they were supposed to do. No, we're not under the law. We're not under the law, but today we have no respect for God. No respect at all. And we need to sit down. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me. Now, we're out of time, and so next week we're going to go to some scripture verses that show us how we as believers in Jesus Christ are going to sit with him in the heavens. Sit with him to those that overcome. In other words, to those that work and serve and give. Not just what's comfortable, but go that extra mile. Give the extra in our service to the Lord. Give all we can give. Those are the ones that overcome. Overcome all the things of the world. Are each one of us going to have wood, hay, and stubble that burn? Yes. Yes. Will everyone have gold, silver, and precious stones as a believer? No. The end of this scripture text in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the section that we read said, save so as by fire. Once again, fire comes, but no works. And it's going to be a sad, sad day. And I don't want anybody to go to the lake of fire. I don't want anybody to be in hell. But I don't want any believer to not be in service to the Lord, that you can have these rewards that he wants to give you. He's given us the plans. He's given us everything that we need. Now let's please give. Let's please give unto him. Did you hear those hymns that we sang this morning? He takes care of the sparrow. Don't you think he's going to take care of me? The last one we just sung, he even mentioned in that hymn there, he said, you know, he takes care of the sparrow. He takes care of the sparrow. He wants to take care of us. Many times we don't let him. We won't let him. We continue to do all the work ourselves as we think we need to. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to know more about the Lord Jesus? You want to be saved? Listen. If you want to grow and be a servant to him, a wise servant, then listen, hear to what he has to say. Beautiful day today. Can't think of a nicer day to serve the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come and rejoice with you. We just praise your precious name. I thank you for all that have come. I ask that all the way from 5th chapter of John to Matthew, to 1 Corinthians, to Romans, to Revelation. We love your word. We love studying it. We love serving you. Just guide and lead us and strengthen us each day, dear Lord. Have us to be proclaimers of your word. I ask, dear Father, for special prayer for salvation of one I need to talk to tomorrow. I ask that you'll restore his health enough so he can hear. Father, you know the name, you know the place, and I just ask, Father, that you'll just touch his heart right now. I speak to our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.